everybody. It's time for a special edition Revival Town podcast episode with the band Consumed by Fire in the studio. The Ward Brothers joining us all the way from Wagoner, Oklahoma. So welcome, hey. Jordan, Caleb, and Josh. So great to have you on Revival Town. First things first.
This is the first we've had like a band,
right? Like in the studio.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean we've had individuals from different bands, but not like have the band in.
Yeah.
So this is great, and we're in the studio at Dream Center, so that we can get everyone around the same table.
Yeah. And we just did the tour.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. A rapid tour. So
we sped walk through. Not all the 140,000 square feet of the Dream Center, but
we got close to it.
We didn't see the gym, though.
We didn't see the gym. We'll have to definitely get to show you the gym after this. But thank you. You guys are in town for a concert tonight. Obviously, when folks are listening to this, that concert would have taken place already.
So no invite.
No invite.
You can't come. You missed it. Oh. And it's going to be epic.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great night tonight.
But what we want to do is just, obviously, Jordan, you've been on before, yes, Revival Town, and now you've got the band all here.
We're all here. We're
fired up.
Ready to go. This has come to town.
It is. It's going to be kind of a little bit of our friends, the Cash Brothers. They're in a little band called We the Kingdom. And we've known them for a long time. And back in the day, they used to refer to us as the chaos when we walked in the room. Because when the three of us get together in the same room, it's just chaotic. So we're sorry in advance for whatever happens.
That's right.
Well, we're really, really honored to have you guys here. And Jordan, you've been on Revival Town before, and you guys have been to Rock Church before, but tonight is just a special concert, and we're taking advantage of having you in town and getting you here to the Dream Center, and of course, coming on today, because we have a lot of people who listen, who I know are fans of you guys. So why don't we begin by just kind of sharing how you guys got going? How did you end up Consumed by Fire?
Well, you got the three of us being brothers, so that helped, didn't it? But Mom and Dad, pastoring for over 35 years of ministry and being raised in the church. And I remember being about 12, going on 13, and Jordan, you would have been a few years older. And we just said, you know what? We want to start a ministry. We want to start something. Would you consider, Mom and Dad, would you consider homeschooling us so we could start this band? We want to travel.
And tour the country.
And tour the country. And it's so funny. Jordan always says, you know, most of the time when you hear in the church, I'm going to pray about it, it's a really sweet way of saying no.
I'm in a season of no.
Right? And Mom and Dad genuinely said, we're going to pray about it. And they came back and they said yes.
Mm. Wow.
And so right out the gate, it, you know, same name and everything, which is really funny because if you Google Consumed by
Fire,
don't
give them any ideas, Caleb.
You get to watch our history of just loving rock. The whole thing, it's pretty embarrassing. So go have fun with that. But but same name out of Jeremiah. You got these young kids, you know, coming up with Consumed by Fire. And now just all these years of ministry later, never being more on fire for the Lord.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I'm grateful for the journey so far.
Yeah. So you guys, are you in the midst of a tour?
Are you?
Because obviously you don't live in Peoria and you didn't decide to just do a concert in Peoria tonight. Tell us a bit about where you've been so far, and then we'll step back then and talk about some of the things that you've done also.
Well, leg one of the First Things First tour went coast to coast. I think we covered over 20 states.
That was back September to November of last year.
And then now with leg two, we said, let's break it down acoustic. Let's hit a couple places we haven't. Let's even go to some of the smaller towns. And let's kind of get back to our roots with the church.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call Peoria a small town, but we've been to some smaller towns already on this tour, and it's and one of those will be our hometown. Mm. We haven't done a hometown show in maybe, I mean,
it's been a while.
Is it a decade or more? Anyways, it's been a long time.
And so, you guys are going there next.
We are. We're really excited. It feels like on this tour we said we wanted to do as many of the shows that we're doing for free. Mm. That was our heart. I mean, we went to, when we were kids, we'd go to see Carmen in concert, and we were really impacted by shows like his and just different ones that would have a heart for the ministry side.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're seeing a lot of families coming out already. This is the 10th show tonight of the Leg 2. And so many of these families, they have their kids saying, hey, this is our first concert. And it feels like a full circle moment for us.
Cool. What have been some of the highlights that you've experienced, perhaps the first leg and then this leg?
Well, you know, you said about 10 shows, right? And I think we've already seen over 100 salvations so far.
Wow. So the testimonies are outrageous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It never gets old. It never, it's never not, you know, overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, that aspect of it, I think, is why we started, and it's why we'll finish, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're a band that really, our lyrics, our message, we're for everybody, we hope, but we're clearly a band for believers. I mean, our lyrics are something you gravitate towards too. If I mean, I would think, but it's so because of that, we play in the church a lot.
Yeah.
And to see 100 salvations in 9 nights.
Yeah.
We're used to going after the one, y'all. Right. You know what I mean? We're playing for the church most nights.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're absolutely fired up about what God's doing.
So for those who have, you know, because obviously we have a lot of people listening, not just in the States, but globally. And everyone can obviously jump onto Google and things. But what's the style? What's the type of flavor do you guys have that you bring to the church?
I think being raised in it, there's definitely a lot of the soul still in the music, don't you think? Mm-hmm. And then in the music, stylistically, I think being more redneck the way we are,
our southern roots.
My long hair don't cover up my redneck. That's an old lyric that I kind of live by there.
Well, a little bit country.
Those players are definitely there for sure.
I mean, and you guys have worked with some country artists, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, Jay DeMarcus, who was a part of Rascal Flatts, started the Christian label that we signed with, Red Street Records. And when our dad was in the hospital, he had a massive stroke in 2019. And for 15 months, we'd be in the hospital with him.
Mm.
And so in that time period, even before dad had those health struggles, we were in conversation with each other about what's next. You know, we toured so many years and shows, and we had a lot of disappointments and discouragements, as I guess anybody does after that long. And and in that moment, we're saying, you know, what's next for our journey in music together, all these things. And then dad has a stroke in the hospital, 15 months. We come home for 2 more years and nursed him before he ultimately just went home to be with the Lord in May of 2022. And I think, you know, during that time period, Jay, he was so sweet to us. He offered us a record deal, but we were in no position to make a record, write a record, promote a record. So he goes, here's what we're going to do. You're going to be writers. I'm assigning you to a pub deal. And it was the sweetest thing he could have done for us in that time period. And
Wow.
Got to work with a lot of amazing artists in that moment, in that season as well.
Man, well, I remember meeting you guys through a mutual friend, Blaine Bartel, who had a pastor's retreat where he blessed a bunch of senior pastors, and you guys were there to do worship, and your dad was one of the speakers, and my wife was with me. This was right at the beginning of when she ended up being sick, so it's been more than five years ago, and I remember telling her, and I remember telling Andy, like, these guys are the real deal.
Yeah.
They love Jesus, and I loved your dad, and then we just stayed in touch, and you guys had planned to come out Father's Day of 2022, and then your dad passed away, and you guys still came, and I know that was not easy, and you guys ministered to so many hearts that day. So again, I'm so grateful that you guys are still willing to come in a time that was very challenging. I just love your heart and that your willingness to minister to people, to love on people,
thank you, Pastor,
to lead people to Jesus. So
appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So good. So what is the plans for the rest of this tour?
Yeah.
What you talked about the hometown. Now, that's got to be, I mean, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, we're from this town, but I hope everyone shows up that likes right. us. Like,
exactly.
Get the family out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what are the other legs that you've got as far as yeah. the other places yeah. that you go into? Because well, we have a lot of people listening from all over, sure, so they may be sure. like, oh, yeah.
Well, for everybody, you know, around the globe that listens, we are doing our best to figure out our best world travel scenario for the First Things First tour, whatever tour that might be. It's definitely in our hearts to kind of go abroad a little bit more. But as far as this tour, we've got one thing I'm excited about. We've never spent much time in Texas, the great state, such a large.
They say it's pretty big.
It's
pretty
yeah, big. Yeah, it's big. So I think we've got like 7 maybe shows in Texas.
Wow.
I think,
really?
Yeah. I think
coming
so.
Up. Yeah.
Wow. So that's going to be kind of crazy. I mean, a lot of people do like a Texas takeover tour. We've never done that.
Yeah.
But we're kind of including one in the second leg of this tour.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun. And then Mississippi's always a good little stop yeah, for us because they're a little closer to the
And then at the end of this acoustic influence. Tour, we'll move into the festival kind of season right. where, I mean, it's going to be, stay tuned to the calendar on social yeah. media because that's going to be, I have a feeling we're going to rack up some frequent flyer miles this summer.
Well, one thing I love about festival forth. Season, it's like reunion season because you get to be with all of your friends.
Yeah.
We're all just, you know, serving yeah. the kingdom together, loving on people yeah. and kind of reuniting with different bands and artists that have meant so much to us over the years.
So let's pause there a bit. I love doing this type of stuff. So what, you know, you talk about meeting up with people. Who are some of the friends that people would know that are listening yeah. that you love hanging with because of who they are, not sure. because of what they do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I mentioned the Cashes already. But
from We the Kingdom, yeah, I mean, for sure. There's
on a personal level, they're hilarious. I mean, they love the Lord. They're down to earth. But then on the music side and the ministry
they're
side.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Who else?
One of our best friends over the years has been actually our label mate, Jason Crabb.
Yeah.
And his heart for the Lord and ministry and their family and what they've done. But we're just a couple of rednecks together, so we yeah. get in a room and crack up, and it's easy, right?
Nobody gets a word in edgewise when we're all yeah. in the same room, probably.
Yeah. He's one of my favorite people.
And didn't you guys play with Jason Crabb recently? On
yeah. So, yeah. We did a TBN special
yeah,
together.
Right. Yeah,
For his new record, Good Morning Mercy, which we co-wrote that song together and co-wrote four or five of the new songs on his record together.
Wow.
So yeah. that was one of those artists I mentioned that we got to spend some time with while we were in the hospital, and we wrote quite a few songs together, and a handful of them made his new record. So,
yeah. Wow. Our newest single and Good Morning Mercy was written in the same day, weren't they?
Yeah, Walk with Jesus and Good Morning Mercy. It's a fun fact. They were written.
Really?
We wrote Walk with Jesus with the legendary Don Cook, who is a producer songwriter that produced most of the '90s hits that you know, 40 number ones. You know, yeah. he just went home to be with the Lord this year, and so Walk with Jesus is it's got special. A little bit. Different place in our heart because of that, you know. But we wrote it with Don that day, Walk with Jesus, and then we went down the hall, our studio headquarters, our label headquarters rather, is it's in the house that Reba built. It's a Starstruck Entertainment on Music Row. And so
Reba McEntire.
Yeah, Reba McEntire.
Her and her husband back then, they built a massive like studio full artist kind of complex on Music Row. It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah. Couple of studios and then a lot of office space, and Red Street moved into the second floor and it wraps all the way, well, half of the second floor, and then it was the full second floor, and then it's like, do you got room in the basement?
Yeah.
So
yeah, Red Street's growing, but so it's a very creative atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we walk down the hall to write with Jay and Jason, and then Good Morning Mercy happens the same day. So
yeah.
It was God was moving that day.
It was amazing.
Well, speaking of God moving, First Things First has been a song that's gotten you a lot of attention.
Yes, sir.
And of course, Goodbye On Me as well. But I mean, you guys were nominated for K-Love Awards and a Dove Award. So, yeah. And you attended both ceremonies. So how was that?
It's like a family reunion in so many ways. Or you get to meet and develop relationships with people that you otherwise, you know, wouldn't just passing each other, coming and going on the road and stuff. And
there's a song on this new record of ours, and it's called "What If," and it just takes me back kind of to the heart of that song, because the message of that song just speaks about your dreams, and I think about us being young and just full of vision, and just going, man, Daddy would always preach to us, hey, the word, how it says, though your beginnings are small, your latter days shall greatly increase. Wow. And there's just been so many, even with our buddy Jason, like we're talking about, I remember being a teenager and going, man, I love that guy's voice. Wouldn't it be cool if we could ever write with him? And then just to see all these years later, God bring that to light.
Yeah.
So no matter where you're at, and the K-Love thing makes me think that too, just being able to do that, growing up in the
presenting
church.
An award with Jason that night to the Duck Dynasty guys for their podcast.
So wild.
Pretty wild.
Wow.
That was I mean, that was a full circle.
And then, you know, goodbye with me being nominated at the Dove Awards, and you've got Skillet and Mercy Me, and you've got Chris Tomlin and Brandon Lakes on the front row, and they play this hilarious video you kind of did almost as like a joking, like New Year's resolution video to goodbye with me. And here they're all these serious, just you want to lift your hands and worship. And then you have us buffoons in blue jumpsuits doing aerobics on the big screen. And it's like, well, this is the way to come out and say hi to every artist you've ever loved and respected is in the room. I'm pretty sure Amy Grant was backstage. And I'm just like, I'm never going to recover from this. Like, I'm going to talk to my therapist immediately following this event. And,
is there anyone that you would love to do a duet or partner with, not just writing? Well, let's do that. Is there someone you would love to write with?
Yeah.
But then is there someone then you would love to do a song with?
Yeah.
I think it's probably a pretty big list, don't you think?
I always think about Ryan Tedder from One Republic. I think that would be an incredible write and production situation. That's kind of a dream.
You and every other worship leader in Tennessee.
Every worship leader
in Nashville is like, yeah, I'm gonna talk to Ryan Tedder at Soho House next weekend. It's a little inside baseball, but it's funny.
Do you guys write together, by the way, all three of you?
We sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. We try to.
Jordan and Caleb write together constantly, you know.
We wrote a song. There was a song that came in at kind of the 12th hour, if you will. The record was finished to our knowledge.
Yeah.
And we were in the studio near Atlanta, Georgia, with our producer, Scotty Wilbanks. And he was just chatting with us, you know. He was saying, because at this time, First Things First was sort of really, it had just cracked the top five, maybe.
Yeah.
And we were just sitting there praising God and just talking to each other about the journey and just going, you know, this is testimony time, you know what I mean? And he said, guys, you know, most bands that disappear for as long as you did, being in the hospital with your dad, nursing him, all that time in between your last single, the journey that you've had, all the different things, you know, we were going over it all. He said, this is impossible. And most families wouldn't have made it out. He said, how in the world did you make it through? And Caleb goes, man, there was a grace.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotty, he goes, what in the world did you just say? And he goes to the piano. And you can hear the song. It's on our latest record. That was the last song that came in. We thought the record was finished.
Wow.
And that song.
Us four wrote that together.
We wrote it all. Yeah, us four.
And, man, there wasn't a dry eye in the room.
Yeah.
And it was written in under an hour, which, you know, normally you can go 4, 5, 6 hours writing it, come back the next day, shoot holes in it, try and make it better. But this song, just from the start to the finish of writing the song, creating it, to trying to record it, still each one of us just eyes just filled with tears, and just the meaning and the passion of that song.
Wow. Much more does it mean to sing it than knowing what you did to write it? I mean, those moments that everybody listening, they don't see that moment of you guys sitting in the room, praising God, testifying, then having that emotional moment, and then a song that's birthed out of that, now to get up and sing it in front of all these people has got to be pretty special.
Yeah, it's tough to sing without choking up night to night, to be honest. It still is.
Yeah.
Caleb, he had tears getting choked up when he was recording it. And so, I mean, and there's footage of that, of just we thought we're going to go in there, lay it down. Caleb's going to sing this. And it was actually a really tough thing.
Well, Scotty, to really put it back in perspective, as he was on the other side of the glass by the board, he goes, hey, real quick, do you remember what this song means to you? Do you remember why we wrote this song? And he said, I want you to go back to those nights that we talked about where you were praying. I want you to go back to that hospital room. I want you to go back to all the places where you know God's grace shined. Mm. And now I want you to sing this over. And by the time I got to the first chorus, I was a wreck. And it was tough, man. But I just want to encourage whoever's listening and watching right now, because no matter what you're going through, no matter the challenges, whatever you're facing, there is a grace. And it's when we lean in to the Word of God, it's when we lean into Jesus and we remember all the times that He's brought us out. That's when we find that He is the helper, He is the comforter, and that there's nothing that we're facing right here that He'll ever leave us or forsake us.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And there's a grace, man. There's a grace.
Did that song, was that on the album, the one for you that was like, this is the one that I have not only enjoyed writing, but singing, and you knew what it was going to do when you perform it live? Is that the song, or was there others?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a few on it for sure, yeah. You know, that have that, but 100% on that song. And even whenever I know that it's coming up on the set list, I'm going, all right, don't cry. You gotta sing, don't cry. Don't go back and think about all that stuff. Just give it to the Lord now. And
well, the other night on one of our last dates, when we were singing it, not to get stuck on this song, we can move on.
Yeah.
After this, but I wasn't even thinking about us the last time we performed this song. I started seeing faces in the congregation, and I, it's like you could see their story in their eyes. And when I see their tears, that's what made the waterworks go for me the last night. It wasn't me being back next to Dad's bedside. It was me looking at them and seeing their hospital room or their journey.
Come on.
And that's what made me choked up the last time. So, yeah.
Are there any songs that, I mean, you knew, I mean, obviously you wrote it, you felt good about it. Are there any songs that have outperformed even your own expectations that just maybe caught you off guard on how they connected with listeners?
A great question.
I mean, I'm still shocked anytime we hear anybody worshiping along with us, the first things first, and how much it means.
Yeah. We knew that song was special, I feel like, from the beginning, but you never know.
No.
I mean, there's no way of ever imagining that.
There were a few friends that were real close that we showed the song to beforehand, and their response, I think, is what started making us think, well, you know, what is in this song to make us go, there might be something special to it. And it was just seeing their reaction and their heart coming to the end of, you know, because that's what's on that song. That song's just Matthew 6. It's just full on surrender mode, right? First things first. And to be able to play it for someone and go, hey, how's this hit you? What do you think? And then, you know, halfway through the song, you're singing that moment for them.
Well, it's like you said, that song was keeping you up at night. You know, you wake up singing that song like in your dreams and in your sleep. And he's like, I'm waking up singing this song, man. It won't leave me alone. And it's like, it's funny whenever you're going through a situation. And it's not always the case with songwriters. Sometimes as a songwriter, you have to dig from a well that's not your own to be creative and to write for others. But sometimes it hits really close to home. But then you go, well, this is really special to me. But how do I know it's going to be special to the audience that would get a hold of this? And to see both of those things collide and come together, I think, is what makes it more special.
Yeah. Well, funny story about the song. So, you guys, I haven't shared this with you, but about a year, almost a year and a half ago, a little less, I was at a car dealership. We were looking at cars, and when I say we, I was looking at cars, and we had picked out three. I showed my wife, and I needed to test drive them, and I was sitting in one of them, and I was kind of torn between two.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I prayed, God, I need a sign. I need, like, if this is the car we're supposed to have, I need a sign. and First Things First came on the radio. I screenshot it. I think I may have even texted it to you, Jordan. I don't know. I mean, it came on the radio, and I have that car.
Amazing. That's awesome.
So, yeah, thank you.
I hope you love it.
Yeah, I do.
It's funny. It's broke down every day.
What's funny is I have a car broke down that's in the shop, and I drove these guys in the loaner, but it's not the that car that broke down. It's not that one.
Pinto, and you're like, Lord, is this the one? Then I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the car that's in the shop yesterday, I was praying, and Goodbye, Oh Me came on. Yeah. All
right. Look at you. You're on fire. Hey. is there obviously with what's happening tonight and every night, is there a time in the night where you guys are like, this is the bit I'm looking forward to? Is it a certain song? Is it a story that you share that perhaps you could share now?
Yeah.
Can you just open that up a little bit?
My favorite part of the night is when Jordan just gets, you know, turned loose to give the gospel invitation and to present that. To watch from up there when the anointing gets to flowing. And what's so special of us three doing this for so many years, our father, you know, going home to be with the Lord. I was just sharing this the other day with somebody, just saying, you know, it's so amazing to watch Jordan because he reminds me of our dad so much. And whenever he starts to teach and just to watch the anointing come into the room for the person that may have never heard of God's goodness ever before.
Yeah.
And to just see the invitation go forth, and then to see, you know, at ages that are just unbelievable to maybe somebody older in their life that's just now making the decision to say yes to Jesus. There's nothing better.
Yeah.
And it just reminds you and brings you back to why we all do the ministry side of everything, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that tonight and every other night on this.
Our message has always been very simple. From the time we were young teenagers convincing mom and dad, it feels like we convinced them, but they clearly heard from the Lord, but we, to start our own ministry, you know, our message in the beginning was God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And lately it's made me think, man, how great is it that we haven't had to come back and apologize for getting something messed up or something wrong? You know, you grow and you grow in your faith, and then you can look back and go, man, I kind of messed that up. Well, thank the Lord we picked a message that if you're going to talk about his goodness at any point for any amount, I've come to find out he's better than we give him credit for. Mm. I haven't got anything. I haven't even scratched the surface if I'm telling you how good he is. Mm. Paul would talk about in Ephesians, I'd pray that you'd comprehend with all the saints the depth and the breadth and the width of his love. That means, I mean, this is going to take some spiritual insight to even scratch the surface of how much God loves you.
Mm.
And so I'm just thankful that that's the message God gave us when we were younger. And I think it's important because, you know, there are many different ways to present Jesus to different folks from all different walks of life. We chose the goodness of God as our message.
Mm.
We believed it when Paul said it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance.
Yes.
And I know I've seen fear try to be a part of people's presentation. That's not a part of ours. I try my best to present perfect love. And then that casts out all fear. I've noticed that fear doesn't really keep anybody. It just scares the hell out of them for a minute. Right.
At least for that.
You know, let me get me some fire insurance real quick. Yeah, right. I'll sign up for that.
Right.
But when you tell him how good he is, it's like, oh wow, I can trust my heavenly Father. Mm. I can trust him, and I can trust that he's for me. And when that happens, it's as if their heart opens. They're not being told how awful they are anymore, how horrible of a person they are. Instead, their focus is on how good he is.
Yes.
And not about what they do, but what he's done. And that's our message. And I'll bring it out different ways night to night as the Holy Spirit leads, crowd to crowd. Comes out different every time.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's it in a nutshell. I got to cut it off or I'll just go for 10 more minutes. But it's we're passionate about it. Well, can I share this one part?
Yeah.
The part for me, I think from the beginning, that's still night to night, that hasn't left, is
there's a place in James chapter 1, verse 13, that's a core part of our message, because so many people tend to think that the evil things in their life that they've experienced were at the hand of God, unfortunately. And we don't want to go in and try to recorrect their doctrine night to night, but we want to give them the truth, and we want to uncover the thief for who he really is. And God's not the thief. James 1:13 says, if any man be tempted of evil, don't think for a second you are tempted of God, because God does not know evil, neither can he tempt any man with evil. In verse 16, he says, don't be deceived. Then verse 17, for every good and perfect gift comes from above, and in him there's no variableness, there's no shadow of turning. And then you kind of ask, well, what do you define as evil? I believe evil can be summed up in three categories: stealing, killing, and destroying. I think we all kind of get to that when we really start breaking down stealing, killing, and destroying. Yep, that's evil in a nutshell. Well, Jesus said in John 10:10, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we just do our best to reveal the nature of who God is. And it's amazing when they find out how good he is, the Holy Spirit does the rest, and they repent.
Amen.
And it's an amazing thing to watch.
That's good. I'm excited to watch it tonight.
Me too. I don't know. It comes out different every night.
I'm ready for you. I'm ready to get saved right now. If you could just pray.
But isn't it wild? I find how wild it is that the goodness of God is so controversial within the church. It's like, it shouldn't be. He's better than we're even saying he is.
Yeah.
He's not capable of evil things.
Right.
And there is a devil, and there is an adversary, and the Bible talks all about this adversary. But James, again, in chapter 4 and verse 7 says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
Yes.
And that, in the Greek, it what's actually so amazing, points out though, that he's running in terror from
what's
you.
What's so amazing about James, why he even got to the point of wanting to speed that up, is because there was other places, and he was hearing the rumors and the whispers of people trying to put all these terrible things they were going through
on God. Yeah.
And James had enough.
Yeah.
And how much do we see that in religion and church, of people playing the, you know, I'm holy, almost the part of where Job repented for, and putting it all back on God, and how some of his friends wanted to say, it's just written in the stars, Job. And so often in the church, we want to just put it all on God, as if it's all just boom. Nothing to do with an adversary, nothing to do with Satan. And James had enough. And it came all over, and it went all through him. And he says, don't ever let those words come out of your out of your mouth. And I think as the church, we got to stand up, and we have to encourage and remind one another. He's our helper.
He is.
Yes.
He's the comforter. He's for us.
Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God for a reason.
Right.
And the shield of faith ain't to quench every fiery dart of the Heavenly Father that we serve and love. No, it's to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Yes. Those fiery darts ain't coming from heaven. Yes. Stop putting your shield up there in heaven. You've got armor.
Right.
And it ain't for God.
Yes. And Paul says, so we put on that armor so we're aware of the strategies of the enemy. And his strategies haven't changed. Still deception, right? He's out to deceive and just distract people, and to get people to believe that God is to blame.
Right.
Right. I always say we have two opportunities when we're going through suffering. We could be mad at God, which doesn't change our circumstances, which doesn't bring our loved one back. But when you run to God, you're running to the rescuer, the only one who can sustain us in our suffering. And he said that suffering we endure now cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed in our future. So when Paul says there is, our enemy is not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the unseen world that we can't see with our natural eyes, principalities and rulers. We know that the devil, he's not in hell. He's roaming this earth, the god of this world. And he already said it, John 10:10, he comes to steal, to kill, destroy. So we have got to put our faith in God and run to him.
Amen.
Yes, amen. So praise God.
Yeah.
I'm getting fired up.
Yeah.
I'm getting stirred up. But hey, man, that's how we grew up. And just an old country preacher, lighthearted way to put it. I don't know if Dad would call himself an old country preacher, but this sounded country. This is how he used to say it. He'd say, boys, this is the easiest way to put it. God's a good God, devil's a bad devil, and they never swap jobs. I mean, hey, sometimes you got to make it simple for the stupid, you know?
That's right. Work for me.
I love it.
Oh, man, that's good.
Oh, man, I heard somebody say, God's a good God, the devil's a bad devil, and people are stupid.
Is that what you just heard?
Don't be stupid.
We quote John Wayne. Life's hard. It's harder when you're stupid.
But, yeah. We did grow up in a John Wayne kind of household. You know.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Well, guys. Would you guys, you'll probably have to do like rock, paper, scissors for this, but just pray for the folks that have been listening.
Yeah.
It may be someone that's on that fence of faith, and you may have said something that has just helped them to make a decision. Could one of you three pray?
Absolutely. Right now, I just would want to speak to the one who's maybe having the Holy Spirit tug on your heart right now. And you've never been able to surrender to the Lord because of this question or that question. I just believe that right now, as maybe you're driving in your car, or you're sitting at work, or you're at home, or you're in the kitchen, wherever you are listening to this podcast, whatever drew you in, whatever the Lord used to put you here in the same place right now, I just speak that the peace of God would flood your whole spirit, soul, and body, that you'd have an awareness of God's love for you, that it would fill your entire being, yes, and that all anxiety and all fear would leave you, that perfect love would truly come in and cast out all fear. We speak peace to your home. We pray that everything you put your hands to prospers. We speak health over you and your home. Yes. We pray that the blessing of Abraham will come over you. If you're not a believer and you're listening to this, you're not somebody that has put your faith in Jesus, maybe it's the questions that you didn't understand that would maybe prohibit you from feeling like you could surrender to God. Right now, I'd just encourage you, don't let the questions of what you don't understand outweigh the answers that you already have. Yes. Lean into the foundational answers. Right now, if you're listening to this and you'd say, I do believe and I want to surrender, I'm tired of putting it off, can I lead you in a prayer of salvation right now, wherever you're at? Dear Heavenly Father, yes, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins. Jesus, wash me in your blood. Make me new again. Fill me with your spirit so that I can live for you for all the days of my life. No turning back. I'll serve you with gladness. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. We're celebrating with you. Yes. Get in touch with us here.
Amen.
Revival Town Podcast. Yes. We're rooting for you. We're praying for your family. We believe your best days are ahead and you will accomplish everything that God's called you to do. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
Well, you just talked about how folks could get in touch with us through Revival Town Podcast. How can people connect with you guys?
Yeah.
What's the best way to do that?
On our socials, on our website, consumedbyfire.com. You know, and I love it. Every night that we give an invitation, Jordan, you always let people know that you can direct message us. You can reach out to us. We want to be there for you. Actually, Jordan's been working really hard with our team on getting things together to be able to give to people that actually make that.
To disciple them and not just leave them in, you know.
Make that decision.
We don't want anybody falling through the cracks after a night at a concert.
Yeah.
It's like, this is more than a concert. This was a place where a dot was connected. And we'll walk with you and help you find a church and do all the things. That's something God's laid on our hearts.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So good. So that's the best way then through
I
social.
Think so, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, good.
Sorry, we're getting into some rabbit holes. Right, right. Right. You can tell we're preachers. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
He's like, so long story short.
It's a long story short.
Consumedbyfire.com?
Yeah. That might work. Does that still work?
Well, at the end of every podcast, we always do the big three, which is three questions, which will be interesting today because
we get three answers.
Yeah, the big three with the big three, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to ask three questions. Do you want to start, Chuck?
Sure.
Okay. And here we go.
This all right. Start that way. I'm tired of hearing my voice. Go
okay,
with Josh.
All right. We'll start with Josh.
Three questions.
Work our way down.
Nine answers.
All right.
And three of them will be right. And they'll be mine.
There you go. All right. First question is, you have been to 20 states, or last year on the tour, 20 states. I mean, you've been everywhere. But what is your favorite city that you have visited so far?
My favorite city is Palm Springs, Orlando, because of the golf and the weather.
Pick one.
I'll go Orlando.
All right, all right.
It's rapid fire.
Rapid fire, man. You got to pick quick.
Oh, sorry. Whoops. Where were we out in California last week?
You've already failed rapid
fire. So memorable. You don't even remember.
I'm trying to remember.
It's like the Coachella Valley. It's like Indigo. Yeah. There's Palm Springs. There's
I really enjoyed that
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Palm Springs?
Nice. Yeah, that's kind of.
Do you guys ever forget where you're at?
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. It's right now.
It's top three for me. Yeah. No, I love Destin because it's a place I can always go back and just retreat to.
It's got to have some palm trees for sure.
If you can't tell, we like the beach and the sunshine.
Yeah.
I mean, the golf.
My kind of people.
Yeah.
All right, well, next question.
Hopefully a little more rapid.
Yeah, it's fine, guys. If you could sing with anyone alive or dead, who would it be?
Have mercy. Why not Ray Charles?
Ooh, yeah. Ray Charles, all right.
That'd be amazing. You may I just be in the room with him while he sings. I ain't got to do nothing.
Yeah.
Oh. I like that answer.
How about the guy that wrote it's kind of controversial a little bit about who wrote it, but the Swing Low, Sweet Chariot guy was like native or something. I just want to know if any of the people that wrote the songs that existed like before recordings existed, if the songwriters could actually sing. Like, were they just down by the lake? Like,
right, yeah.
Swing low.
You know?
Interesting take, Josh.
No, because it's impossible to pick your heroes. You know?
I think it'd be really cool if Consumed by Fire got to collaborate with either Chris Tomlin or Lauren Daigle. I think that'd be really cool. So that's like a dream bucket.
So you went full alive or dead?
Yeah.
You went alive. We all went impossible.
I mean, why not? We got to balance this thing out here.
You're not wrong.
I don't even know what your answer was, Josh. I'm going to level it.
I think he said Bob Dylan.
I don't know what.
Singer songwriter.
Swing low. Swing by the river.
Something about the river.
Chris Farley influence? I don't know what happened.
All right, Chuck. All right,
last question. Who do you listen to?
Oh. All over the place, man.
Who do you listen to?
Yeah. Honestly, these
not
days.
Not him.
You mean like musically?
I only listen to the Holy Spirit and my mother.
And occasionally your wife.
Occasionally my wife.
I mean, obviously, we know what style Consumed by Fire is, but who do you each individually enjoy listening to when it comes to music?
I love listening to Chris Tomlin. I really do. For the Christian stuff, I think for my country playlist, it's Blake Shelton.
I was going to say Blake Shelton.
I love him. Too. He's Oklahoma.
I'm Blake Shelton and Bob Seger. Almost Bob Dylan just goes to Bob Dylan. Bob Seger and Blake Shelton kind of spend the most time on my playlist.
Yeah.
I've been my kids influence my playlist the most.
Okay.
So here lately it's been a lot of Brandon Lake.
Why would you act like you don't like Brandon?
No.
Could hear this.
A lot of Brandon Lake. It's been.
Does he write some worship songs? Have I heard?
He's struggling.
Brandon Lake.
He's on every album.
We need to take up an offering for Brandon Lake.
It's been Brandon Lake. A lot of Mav City, and then...
Why do we think you were going to say Kids Bop the way you set this up? And then all of a sudden you're like, my kids direct my playlist. And then
I'm in the process.
A bunch of my peers.
Umbop so by Hanson.
My daughter's wanting to learn piano, so it's been a lot of Billy Joel.
Okay. All right.
He's just come by with that new...
Right. Educating her young.
All right. Out in the park with that.
Yeah. Man. Well, we want to thank you so much for being on Revival Town today.
And we want to apologize to Revival Town Podcast and all of us
for all of our chaotic
and Brandon Lake.
This was the slowest rapid fire you've ever hosted.
This is like a single shot fire. This is
It was just a bonfire where we sit around and chat and look at the stars.
Guys, we got one speed. I'm sorry.
No, it's been good.
Our speed is biscuits and gravy.
Oh, right.
Hey, come on now.
And why are you giving me a hard time? Because I said my kids are loving Brandon Lake's record right
you
now?
You said, well, my playlist is whatever my kids want to listen to. You don't want to listen to it, John?
Well, I'm just saying, I haven't listened to much of anything that wasn't my kids yelling for a song.
You know what I love?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
This is the way we started it.
You can tell you don't have
the chaos.
Kids.
This is what just came. This is what just happened. This is the chaos.
This is why you just stay on the word, man. It's
we're going to preach next time and preach only.
That's right. So do you guys hang on the bus? Do you guys hang together? Do you kind of
sometimes
do your own thing?
50-50.
I still like you guys.
I gotta be honest. 90% of the time I spend on the bus these days, I feel like I am asleep.
Yeah, no, that's true. No, we hang out when we're home.
We took the bus out by the lake for a couple of days.
That was weird. I'm not gonna lie. And, because why would you want to
stay on a bus whenever you get home?
So,
but we did. We took it out to the lake, had us a big bonfire, let the kids play. Hung up some lights around the thing, you know.
I guess we can't get enough of each other in the bus.
Yeah, we went full like camping trip for a couple of days, and it was fantastic.
Maybe next time we'll do Revival Town podcast on the bus.
Come on,
yeah,
there
you go. Yeah, next time let's do that. Yeah,
you won't be able to hear nothing, but
the generator.
Oh, okay.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to Revival Town today. And everyone, make sure you're checking out Consumed by Fire. They've told you how to connect with them. But not only online, make sure you try and find out where they are going to be near you. You've got a lot of dates still ahead, right?
Absolutely.
And so... anything in the fall lined up, or are you working on that?
I don't think we're allowed to announce anything on that yet, but there's still at least, I think there's about 40-ish dates that they can find us apart from the fall for right now.
40 this year?
Yes.
And you guys are working.
Are you guys going to be at any of the festivals this summer then?
We will. What do we got? We got J-Fest coming up in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Where else?
We got 43 Degrees North up in Oregon. We've got Unity Fest in Michigan. I mean, there's a lot. We have the Delaware State Fair with We the Kingdom.
Illinois State Fair? Did you say Illinois State
Delaware,
Fair?
Delaware, sorry.
Illinois State Fair. This year, Illinois State Fair has three other brothers, the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, really?
Come on. Yeah,
really?
Yeah,
sure, they'll draw a little bit better crowd than me.
Awesome.
It will be all over, Pastor. It's going to be, we'll play Mississippi State Fair, South Haven. We'll be all over the country the rest of this year.
I always ask this just because of my homeland, but have you guys ever been over to the UK in England or Wales or anything?
I can't wait.
You got to do it.
We traveled to Northern Ireland in 06 to help launch a Bible school and do some singing when we first started CBF. And that's UK.
Yeah, still count.
We're just really technical at some point. But anyways, no, we haven't answered your question.
No, that's okay. Good, good. Well, you need to get over there.
We do.
So a friend of mine, Tim Jupe, who used to be the keyboard player for Delirious.
Yeah.
He has now started this little festival that's exploded called Big Church Festival.
We've heard of it, of course.
Yeah. And I think 30,000-40,000 people go to it. You need to get onto I think Brandon Lake's at that one this year. And I mean, they have, it's a crazy lineup because I think a lot of the artists will go to that and that will be the launch for them to do a Europe run.
Sure.
Yeah. And is that Tim Jupe you're talking about?
Tim Jupe. Yeah. Yeah. We need to get him back.
You need to give him a call and say, hey, we got a band for you.
Yeah, we will. We'll give him a show. I'll pull something.
That would be great.
Great.
Thank fantastic. You guys for taking time to come to Dream Center today to do this.
Thank you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Revival Town Podcast. Make sure you're following us on social media and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, head on over to RevivalTownPodcast.com.